The Supreme Court has ruled former President Trump has partial immunity from prosecution. Today, the justices ruled Trump is shielded on some level from criminal charges for acts that he took in office. And joining us live following this historic decision is professor of law at the University of Baltimore School of Law and author of The Pardon Power, How the Pardon System Works and Why. Kimberly Whaley joins us live on KSRO. I am reminded of the famous Richard Nixon quote, "When the president does it, that means that it is not illegal." Kimberly Whaley, what is the issue at the heart of this case, and how did the justices rule around that?
Well, the issue is whether the court should create, basically inject into Article 2 of the Constitution, criminal immunity for presidents. It does not exist. And essentially what they did is said, you know, the Justice Department went after Donald Trump around January 6th. We need to stop that kind of prosecution of presidents going forward. So we are going to create a presumption of immunity for anything officially taken as president, even if that would amount to a crime. And now prosecutors have to overcome that presumption, which is going to be very, very hard to do and could frankly just chill any future prosecutions of presidents, regardless of how bad they allegedly abused their power in office.
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer, not a professor, but this ruling seems confusing in the light of fact that Trump's lawyers argued the president would have immunity even if he assassinated a political rival. How would any court ever be able to rule in that instance?
You know, I think if he used the military or the, you know, CIA to do that, I think he'd have a very, very strong argument it would be immune. I mean, Chief Justice Roberts says any communications, specifically says any communications with the Department of Justice are immune. What the president could do, could use the Department of Justice to prosecute and investigate political rivals, members of the media, people he just doesn't like. And there's nothing that the criminal justice system could do about that, even when he is a private person. That is pretty chilling and scary, and that is very clear in the opinion. DOJ communications are now completely off limits from public scrutiny or criminal scrutiny, even if the DOJ is used as a weapon of persecution of regular Americans.
Professor Whaley, and I think you're getting to this point, but what does the ruling mean for the office of presidency? Does this make the office too powerful or dangerous in your estimation?
Yes, I think it does. And Justice Sotomayor, in her dissent, says the majority's made the president a king. James Madison famously said, ambition needs to be made to counteract ambition. What does that mean? It means when we're driving down the street and there's a speed limit of 35 miles an hour, we'll go 40 miles unless we get a ticket in the mail because there's a machine hiding in the bushes. Then we go 35 the next time. Consequences disincentivize bad behavior. The court has now looked at any consequences for bad behavior in the Oval Office. So we have to be careful about who we put in that office and hope they have personal integrity that's going to give them the tickets for speeding, because the rule of law now has kind of been just kind of taken off the table as a mechanism to stop presidents from abusing the massive power of the office.
So then for some perspective, how does this go with our nation's long-held principle that no one's above the law?
Well, I think the Chief Justice says, well, we're still adhering to that because there's a vague category of unofficial acts for which a prosecution could overcome the presumption. It's threading a needle of a needle. So I think for all pragmatic purposes, I think the presidents now are above the law because holding them to the rule of law will be so difficult that it'd be almost impossible to bring those cases. And, there's a lot of discussion of a conservative Supreme Court. I think that we need to change the moniker. This is not a conservative court. This is a radical court that is basically amended the Constitution today, Article 2, to put presidents above the law in a way that the framers in 1787 did not do when they actually drafted the Constitution, having a Revolutionary War to kick out King George III from, you know, bullying, you know, the colonists. I mean, they didn't want an unlimited monarchy. That's the whole point. And this is a constitutional ruling. So without an amendment to the Constitution or a new configuration of justices, this is the law of the land moving forward for America.
Professor Whaley, how does this affect other cases involving the former president? And are we going to see anything dismissed, do you think?
Well, I think what DOJ has to do with the January 6th case is say, okay, now communications with DOJ by Donald Trump are off the table. There's other things that are now immune. They have to look at what's left of their evidence and decide, is it still worth bringing these four counts? If they decide it's still worth bringing those four counts, they have to go back to Judge Chutkan here in Washington, D.C., and see if they can overcome the presumption of immunity. So it makes it extremely difficult. I think for the other cases, in particular the classified documents case and then the Georgia election interference case, anything Donald Trump did while he was still president, you know, prior to January 20th of 2021, that is now potentially immune from prosecution. So I think there's going to be additional litigation covering any actions he took when he was still technically president, and that could take literally years to resolve, because the lower courts, the trial courts, are going to have to take a first pass, and it'll be appealed, and then ultimately go back to the Supreme Court to give more clarity on the, you know, ephemeral line between official and unofficial conduct. But for the most part, everything I think we can assume is probably official, unless the government is really successful in carving out pieces of it. I mean, the judge does say, or Justice Roberts says, okay, Donald Trump's communications with private officials about the election or communications with state officials about the election, some of those might not be immune from prosecution, but they were not willing to draw any red lines around that. They were only willing to draw red lines around what's protected and what is immune, not what could actually be on the table to form a basis for an indictment.
Okay, Professor Whaley, with regard to precedents, I think that it's inarguable that Donald Trump is going to go down in the history books as having been responsible for a lot of them. You're an author, you're a professor. Project out decades from now, what do you see the history books recording Donald Trump as with regard to these decisions?
Donald Trump smashed a lot of unspoken norms around the Oval Office and the proper use of the powers of the office. I think many of us who have been studying and teaching the separation of powers, you know, for years, so everyday Americans just assumed, okay, there have to be boundaries, right? This Supreme Court has said no. So Donald Trump will have been rewarded for you know, crossing what we thought were red lines of law, of basic proper performance and respect for the office. All bets are off. So I think, you know, the question, frankly, is in when we look back in 20, 30, 40 years, will we have a democracy anymore? Or will we be in a regime where the office of the presidency has collected people that are drunk with their own power and want to stay in power? And now it's going to be a lot easier to do that. There's not going to be so much that can be done to stop that. So I think that's the big question. Will we have a constitutional democracy that's actually functioning, or will it just be something on paper? Because whether you're Republican or Democrat, whether you like Donald Trump or you like Joe Biden or whomever, someone will get in the office that's going to go even further than Donald Trump and not leave, or just, you know, use the Department of Justice to prosecute people that he doesn't like, that we then live in a world where we're afraid to speak, we're afraid to tweet, we're afraid to write, because we don't want the president to use the Justice Department to make us quiet. You know, this is a really, you cannot overstate the moment in democracy in America, how the future could now look very different from the past, given that the court has really greenlighted the use of the powers of the office in any way a president wants to use. And we just have to cross our fingers that people respect and adhere to the founding principles of this country, which is government by the people, not government by a boss.
Thank you very much for that analysis. We're speaking with Kimberly Whaley. She's the professor of law at the University of Baltimore and Law School, and also the author of Pardon Power, How the Pardon System Works and Why, a book I think is going to be more relevant now than ever. Professor Whaley, thank you for your time this morning.
great talking with you. Thank you.